It was many, many years ago. His life was really sad. On the road, being chased by police. Almost half his bones are broken and he didn't really care. With the crap he's done, I'm amazed he's not deceased. Because those years he was so very high. Took every drug he could afford to buy. Then beat up a chick who turned out to be a guy. Bonaducci high.
High on prescriptions.
Bonaducci high.
High on tranquilizers.
Bonaducci high.
High on marijuana.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Danny Bonaducci sitting in for Brian Whitman. And all the songs about you sort of have the same theme.
Well, my
drugs
life has
and fighting and
a theme, if only because the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Right.
I've given more money than I've earned to charity because I'm smarter than other B-list celebrities. I've given millions of dollars to charity because I beat you on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and I give $500,000 to the Children's Hospital, and I beat you on, what's that one with the English lady? And she'd send you home.
The Weakest Link.
Yeah, I beat everybody on that show, so I gave all that money. So I've given millions and millions and millions of dollars to charity.
Right?
Yeah, because I always win at game shows. And they just don't write songs about, what a charitable guy that Bonaducci is. Look at that kid going through chemo. Bonaducci paid for that. They just don't make, you know, a real snappy tune.
Yeah, it's always you with the transvestite.
You smack a couple of guys, take a couple of ludes, and that's all they want to talk about.
All right, speaking of that.
By the way, though, they missed one. They missed two of my favorite ones. One, I was dating this veterinarian one time, and I had her dart me with a tranquilizer gun.
Jesus Christ.
For a dog that weighed 40 pounds less than I. So I figured I'd feel the pain. I'd go, wow, this is what I get of the experience of what it would be like to be darted. Plus, as wasted as you would get, because they want that dog down. That dog is going to bite them. They need to do something to get that dog down. I figure the dog's 40 pounds less than me. I'm just going to be really wasted.
Right.
And I'll be damned if that isn't exactly what happened. It was like perfect planning.
So it didn't knock you out. It just
It was aside from the actual getting shot, because the things make a pop. I mean, they don't just. It's not a slingshot. It's kind of. It was very frightening when she pulled the trigger on the device.
Where did it hit you?
It hit me right near my heart, actually, which
Jesus
I thought was a little
Christ.
Rude. But I don't know. I think she kind of turned her head at the last second,
right,
before she darted me. But it made me just absolutely wasted.
What were you out of around the house where you're doing dog tranquilizers?
Nothing. I was
the weed is gone.
Like.
The crow, crack, coke
came to me. That's all.
And it was like an elephant dart,
an actual dart. Yeah, shot from a gun.
And it got you really high.
Got me wasted.
Jesus Christ.
And it also got me the experience. Like I said, I would never change these numbers in exchange for the story. The story's worth it to me.
Right.
I mean, you know, I knew it was going to hurt.
Right.
But also, I was always going to have the story of I've been darted.
It hurt for a while.
It hurt for, well, actually, by the time I was cognizant, she had taken it out and just patched it up. It wasn't a big hole. It didn't have a barb in it to make it stick. So it hurt like getting stabbed with a pen real hard.
Right.
Not even that hard.
And how long did the high last for?
God, I don't remember, because it was really, it wasn't like just a regular stone. It was the weirdest experience. It was like, they say acid was, because the few times I ever tried that, I never saw anything that wasn't there. Things that were there looked a little different. That's all. Nothing like they, you know, they say in the 60s, you know, all these shapes and colors and people weren't
right.
there. Probably. Nothing like that ever happened to me. The darting. Dude, people were melting and stuff. People were changing faces, and it was really wild. It was an interesting night out.
It's an interesting idea for a reality-based show. You're in Africa, and you only have a loincloth on,
mm-hmm.
and there's 9 guys with elephant darts, and you get a day's head start on them, and they track you down. It's hunting Bonaducci.
Well,
the first one that can hit you with an elephant dart and put you down, and the first one that bags you gets $1 million.
Well, the only problem I see with that, because I like it, actually,
right.
is an elephant dart would kill you. the impact of an elephant dart would probably
kill
you.
All right, so you need like a dog dart.
You need approximately, well, I remember one time I was going to take my dog to Chicago and was going to tranquilize it, and then my sister came over and said she'd watch the dog, so right before I got on the flight, I took all the dog tranquilizers.
You took them yourself?
Yeah, and I passed out and had a very nice flight. So dog tranquilizers and people tranquilizers, dog biology, animal biology in general is very similar to people biology.
So when you're at your vet's and you're getting tranquilizers for the dogs, it's a 50-50 who's going to get it, who's going to actually end up with them, right?
No. The dog doesn't stand a chance. Unless the dog just ate the neighbor kid. And they're saying, listen, we're going to take your house. Because I love my dog. You know, I really do like my dog. But if he hasn't done anything wrong and I can just con some vet out of giving me doggy ludes, right, I'm taking the doggy ludes and giving my dog his Purina 1. That's what makes my dog happy, and the doggy ludes make me happy.
All right. But it is an interesting area, though. The best, because, you know, by the age of 48, you've done almost everything.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'm 45, a little younger than you are, but I've adjusted my buzz where I know, you know, where my window is and
right,
where my threshold is. And I try not to overindulge because I cannot stand being hungover.
Right.
I don't like the throwing up. I don't like the way you feel. It feels like you have foil in your veins. And
yep,
it's just a terrible feeling.
Sure, I know the feeling.
But when people, I have a friend of mine who has gotten into drinking later on in his life. He didn't start drinking until he was 34 years old.
Right.
And so now, consequently, you know, he's at the Hollywood Bowl. He's getting bombed. He's throwing up all over the place. He's doing what you and I did when we were in our teens. You know, because I started drinking probably, not at 14, but not at 19 either. I mean, it was somewhere in that window. I think I was 16 when I first realized that a couple of pops of vodka or gin were pretty good.
Yeah, I looked at it as 4 drinks, I was tall. 6 drinks, I could dance. 8 drinks, I was hysterically funny. And then after that, I wouldn't remember what would happen. So I would try and limit myself to 8 drinks. But by the 8th drink, all your good ideas seem stupid.
Right.
So then by 8 drinks, I'm going, nah, well, that was a stupid idea. I don't know whether you come up with that in the first place. But who starts drinking at 34?
Could you handle drinks right now?
If you and I were to have drinks right now, you would never notice any difference in me at all.
If you had 10 drinks?
Well, if I had 10 drinks, I'd be drunk. But I mean, if I had a shot of whiskey right now because you felt like it, if it was your anniversary and you put one in my hand and I forgot I'm not supposed to drink and I shot it, nothing would happen. We'd continue with the show and everything would be fine.
Right.
6 months from now is what I call, it's kind of morbid, but I call it Becky on a bicycle. I use the name Becky a lot. I call it Becky on a bicycle. You and I would have our shot tonight.
Right.
And then I would, my girlfriend drinks beer, so there's beer in my house. I never drank beer, but I'd learn. And then I'd start drinking again. And 6 months from now, after that one innocent shot where we still did an excellent show, 6 months from now, I'd run over Becky on her bicycle while drunk. That's why I don't have the one for what will happen 6 months from now. You'd never notice. If I had a drink tonight, you'd never know. If I had something to cover the smell, you'd never know in a million years.
But 6 months, you better watch riding a bike on La Brea and Hollywood.
Especially if your name's Becky.
Yeah.
And if you're Becky and you're on a bike at La Brea and Hollywood, you know, you're asking for it.
By the time you're in your 40s, you have perfected your high or your buzz. And again, it's always just to take the edge off, because reality sucks. Reality, as you said before the show off the air, you know, they say time flies by. You know, life is very short.
They say life's too short.
It's not.
No.
It's a long effing process. It never effing ends.
It never ends. My God. And I am not a passive guy in this life never ends thing. You know, I put some effort into seeing if this is true. Like when they sang that song, "He's Broken Every Bone in His Body." This one's brand new. This is pure titanium running up straight up this arm.
And what'd
this
you
is
do?
Less than a year old or a year and a half old. Laid down a bike.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Busted it up.
Bad.
All right. But
along with my jaw and almost none of my teeth are real. It's been I play real hard, but I like playing hard. And there's a certain population, usually of women, and I can tell right away. I can tell right away what woman hates me. Right off the bat. Second I walk in the room, that girl just hates me. She hates the way I walk. She hates the way I strut. She hates the way I dress. She hates the way I, you know, look.
And that's who you're attracted to.
Nope. I'm attracted to the girl that there's 1 out of 10 that I'll just walk in my 48-year-old leather jacket and my boots and my ridiculously tight shirts with my stupid-ass attitude that says, my attitude, my face constantly says, what are you looking at? That's my favorite. But
that's
true. I'm like the nicest guy in the whole world. But my face always says, hey, what are you looking at? It's just, right. I don't know why that's my expression, but it is. There is a girl in every crowd that goes, wow, I want the bad guy.
And you're that guy still.
No, I'm not, but I'll pretend long enough to get some. Absolutely.
All right. Now, I have also, I think I've perfected my high. I don't do it anymore because I feel like I could become addicted to it, so I stopped doing it. But my favorite high used to be, when I did this, I go to Las Vegas, and that's part of the high.
Right,
you know,
sure.
Being in Vegas.
By the way, I'll be there Friday. I'm broadcasting from Vegas on Friday.
I was looking at pictures of Vegas today on one of those satellites, like Google Satellite. I'm thinking, Christ almighty, it's been like 4 months since I've been there, and I'm really am itching to go to Vegas. I love Vegas.
Yeah, this should be fun.
I have never, ever been to Vegas in my life where I've had a terrible time.
No.
Not once.
It's always been a good time to me.
Yeah. I mean, I've never had a crappy time in Vegas. But anyway, so this used to be a great high for me. I used to like to go alone to Las Vegas and check into the room, you know, at Caesar's Palace, wherever you're, Bellagio, MGM. Go up to the room, throw your luggage down, have a quick Heineken from the mini bar.
Right.
That'll get it started. Then you have a pocket full of money. You go downstairs. You belly up to a dollar video poker machine, usually at a bar where you can get free drinks.
Nice.
They keep coming. And you have two shots of vodka, two Vicodin, and about three beers. And it's the single best high I think I've ever had. And
I can't.
Sorry, baby. I can't do it anymore. Partially because of her.
I have a pen in my hand, and I failed to write down that particular mixture. Because that Vicodin, where when I quit drinking, I didn't immediately quit getting high. I started doing stupid things while drunk. So I tried to find something that would emulate the feeling of being drunk without the alcohol. Right. And Vicodin was the close I came, but that is the most intolerant drug I've ever seen. The rate at which you get a tolerance to that drug is amazing.
It's immediate.
I remember because I had to take them for this surgery, and maybe it wasn't this surgery. I've had a lot of surgeries. But whatever it was, they gave me Norcos, which are the strongest Vicodin they make. And the first time I took one, it got me so high and a little sick to my stomach. By the end of the month, I was taking 20.
A day?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
But the guys I know, I mean, there are famous guys that, you know, you can't name them. But there's a famous actor who was taking 55 when I was in rehab with him. Wow. And I talked to Dr. Drew about it. I said, can you really do that? Or is he lying to me? He says, I have patients that take over 100 a day.
Yeah, you know, and he also said to me, he said, the people who take 100 Vicodin today very rarely have liver problems. He says there's something about people who take that many Vicodins where, you know, you would think it would just destroy your liver. Their liver is almost unaffected by it. He said it's a really weird thing you can't explain. But the audience, here's the question for you, gang. What is, you've perfected your high, what is the greatest high? What does it involve? And what have you determined is your favorite high? And this audience is the best for this. You can only do it on this station. You can do it on KPC or KFI because people just go, well, you know what, the F are these two idiots talking about. But this audience, they love to get high. They love to lose reality. They love to take the edge off. And the number one audience, I think, for pot smokers in America is this station.
Now, does this question only include chemicals or liquids that alter your state or... Does the question include anything that makes you feel an ecstasy or a different happiness than you had a moment ago?
Because
then I'm going to claim mine to be the moment I know that the girl I'm kissing for the first time and I unbutton her top button and there is no reaction of not letting me go further. And when you get down and you unbutton the top button of her pants and there is no rejection and I know... This is going to go. I'm going to have sex with this woman who I've never had sex with before. I think that is the best feeling ever.
It's a good feeling. Is that when you ask them to blow a dog dart into you?
No, it's serious. My wife and other people ask me because my ex-wife is a beautiful, beautiful woman. And somebody asked me, what is better? Why do you do that? What's better than a 10? And I said, a 7 I haven't slept with 300 times.
Okay. All right. The best high. This audience has perfected it. 520-9710, that's 520-9710, and 888-520-9710. 97.10. Again, the Las Vegas High, I don't recommend you doing this.
Yes, first of all, yeah, let's be grown up and say,
please don't do that.
Don't recommend
but
this.
I do remember that being one of the great sort of, and you know what it was about that high, is it didn't last for an hour. It lasted for about 7.5, 8 hours.
And it doesn't usually, or didn't come along with much of a hangover.
Yeah, and it also, it was increased by the amount of money you'd win on the video poker machine.
Oh, so if you're winning while getting progressively higher, yeah, it's a pretty good night.
I know. It's you never, ever want to leave that seat.
No, but what happens for me, and this is where you are you may be my junior by a couple of years, but you are my senior by, you are my sage by sitting there winning, getting the perfect high, when I'm the guy leaving Las Vegas. I'm locked up in a hotel room with enough bottles to kill you, and I tell the beautiful girl that wants to hang with me, I can never, ever, ever stop drinking, and then I die.
Right.
I never perfected it. I never got to as far as I could go without cops showing up. So I would like to actually hear the opinions of the audience, because I believe that whatever concoction they have come up with, I have tried it.
You've tried it. But, you know, when you are that high, it's not – alcohol doesn't cost you a lot of money, because alcohol is fairly cheap. It's what you do on the alcohol that costs you a lot of money.
That's the problem for me, is I would
do – It's the gambling, the crap you don't need.
I was on the Dr. Phil one time, Dr. Phil show, and he said to me – and I was on there because I'm an alcoholic, and he was talking about people in the public eye being an alcoholic and quitting drinking. And he looked at me and he said, now, are you telling me – that you have actually been behind the wheel of an automobile while intoxicated? And I looked at him, I said, are you a real doctor?
You effing idiot.
He goes, what do you mean? I said, if I had the comprehension to think, hey, I'm going to drink a lot, but I shouldn't drive, then why would I quit drinking?
Right. That's a load of crap.
If I knew not to grab the keys, why would I quit drinking? I'd be in my living room.
Exactly. And again, when you're in Las Vegas and you're that high, when you go to get money out on a credit card and you sign one of those yellow slips,
mm-hmm.
those things float around and you can grab them out of the air and stick them in your pocket. The next day, you need two bellhops to try to pull them out of your pocket.
Yeah.
Because then you start to see the damage you've done. You're like, hey, fellas, can you try to get this out of my pocket? It weighs about 700 pounds.
And then,
wait a minute, $1,500 on that one, $1,000 there? Oh, babo.
Yeah, if we're gonna play the best high ever, then we should immediately play the worst disaster or the worst disaster caused by that particular great high.
Oh, yeah. And there have been many nights where I'm like, I can't believe I've lost that much money. What an a-hole.
I woke up in a phone booth one time, stark naked. And I have no idea how I got there. I had said something to somebody, and they had apparently kicked my ass, taken all my clothes off, and stuffed me in a phone booth. You know, and I was having a really good time up until that point.
Was this recently?
No. This was, 25 years ago.
Oh, wow.
But still, I mean, trust me, it's a buzzkill. I don't even like getting my ass kicked. When you top that by stripping me naked and throwing me in a public phone booth, and this will give you an idea of how old it was, they closed the door. There was a door to the phone booth. I was in there. And when you're that wasted, trying to figure out a door that pulls in towards you so you can get out of it,
right.
is like doing a Rubik's Cube, man. I'm naked and bleeding and just pulling the door into my chest going, let me out, let me out. So you got to remember, on your perfect high, you couldn't also get out of the phone booth naked.
Yeah, I am shocked that you're still alive.
As are so many other people. Right. I can't imagine how much people have lost so much money betting on my death.
All right, gang, it is the that'd be interesting to see how many people had you in the death pool over the years.
Oh, tons. I've had them come up to me. I've had them tell me.
All right, 520-9710, 888-520-9710. You've perfected your high. What is it? It is the Conway and Whitman Show. In for Whitman is Danny Bonaducci, and we are live on 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. In for Whitman is Danny Bonaducci. You can hear him every single afternoon, Monday through Friday, from 2 to 3 p.m. Right here. And tomorrow he's got a special Name That Poon.
I just made that up just because I thought it was funny at the time. I don't know how to do production. Like, some guy turns on my microphone. Steve is his name. I start talking, and then when it's time to go to commercial, they turn my microphone off. that's kind of my show.
All right.
So Name That Poon, that's all you're going to hear about is that one joke.
All right, here we go. Your favorite high. You've perfected it. What is it? How about Jack in Montclair? You're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jack.
Walking to New York City, I really liked having a coffee, a cigarette, and a couple of Vicodin. That or the perps. I mean, you can't beat the perps.
Yeah, it's not a bad way to walk around. The only problem with Vicodin, and the reason why I don't recommend it, is it will make you very angry.
In Kenya.
Yeah, that's my experience with it. And also, it's going to be constipation that will be very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time.
It lasts a little while. I'm like, you know what I think I like more than any intoxication is I like some kind of element of danger in my life. I remember I took my daughter to Japan, and we went there. And they said, well, there's just street crime is unheard of. And they just kept saying that all the time. And we'd get on the train system and there'd be six-year-olds with backpacks on packed trains that would then get off 10 miles later and switch trains.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was amazing. So, I mean, after about 3 or 4 days there, I asked my daughter in this really, I mean, every hotel in Japan and Tokyo is really expensive. I said, can I go down to Shibuya for like an hour? Would you mind? Because she was all tucked in bed. I said, would you not be scared after all you've heard? And I'll tell the desk guys, it's cool with you.
And how old was she?
She was 11.
Right.
And she said, no. And I said, okay, I'll be back in 1 hour because it was right outside the door. And I walked outside the door to, it's the equivalent of Times Square, but they make it look much bigger in the movies. When you think of that thing that looks like Times Square in Japan,
right,
it's much smaller than Times Square. It really is made to look gigantic, but it's not. But I remember walking, and I'm just about to enter into the bright lights and the bars and the shopping and all of that stuff. And it dawned on me, I don't drink. There are no drugs anywhere to be found, even if I took them. There's no crime. There's no chance of a fight. And I'm not cheating on my wife. And I turned around and I went home. I realized there is nothing for me here.
There's nothing.
There's nothing for me. There's no experience that's going to happen in this place that couldn't happen for me in Jersey.
Do they smoke weed in Japan?
They do. As far as I could find, there was, and I didn't look. I was with an 11-year-old and I was sober at the time. But as far as I could see, the Yakuza, which is the Japanese mafia, is getting a hold on some drugs. And I think they're getting a little westernized over there. I think if drugs are going to be a problem, it won't be for about a decade.
Now, real quickly, and we'll get to some of these calls. When you were doing Breaking Bonaducci, and you went over there to shoot a liquor commercial over to Japan, right? Was that in Japan?
No, I was just in Japan.
But there was one episode where you were on top of a building walking around the ledge.
Oh, no, that was Mexico City.
Oh, it's Mexico City. Oh, okay. And when I saw that, I got sick to my stomach.
You're not alone, bro.
Because I thought, you know, you could have fallen off. There was no wires. There was no nets or whatever.
It's a little worse than you think, really. It was about an 80-story building. And I was wearing these boots, which, I don't know, that's 2.5-inch heel easily. And what they had done is they had built a fake ledge about 2 feet away from the ledge. So it just looked like I was on the ledge. And I got up, and I have this bottle of tequila in my hand. And I said, they said, roll them. And I said, there has not been one fake thing on Breaking Bonaducci, and we're not going to start here. And I leapt from the fake ledge to the real ledge and almost went over. And I was like hanging over the 80-story building. And I finally got my balance. And the thing is, in Mexico City, especially if you look important, whether you're a celebrity or not, whatever it is that makes you look important,
right,
they surround you with guys with machine guns. I just had guys with machine guns with me everywhere I went. Well, they're looking at doors. They're looking at danger coming towards me.
Right.
So when I leapt from the fake ledge to a real ledge of an 80-story building in my high heels, if you will,
right,
and almost ate it, and the director screamed. I mean, he let out a scream like he was being physically attacked. And since all the guys with all the guns were looking at the doors to come get me, they didn't know what had happened because it happened behind them. And everybody just started pointing guns at everybody. Because all of a sudden, everybody had guns, and they're all pointed at everybody else. And finally, like, because I was fine now. I had caught my balance, and I was ready to do the commercial.
But I thought you were going over.
So did I at first. I was pretty sure I was going over. As a matter of fact, I went, I actually had time to think, and I've had this happen more than once, because I put myself in stupid positions more than once. I've actually had time, I would think, off the top of my head, maybe 3 times. So this is how it ends. It's going to go like this. And that was one of them. I was just My body was at an angle where you didn't think gravity could ever bring you back, no matter how hard you threw yourself backwards, that was it.
It was windy up there, too.
Yeah, and I was just at that point where I was going over, and I thought to myself, huh, so this is how it ends. And but I made it back.
They should. Is that up on YouTube?
I don't know.
That piece should be up on YouTube.
I've never seen the show.
You've never watched one episode?
No.
You got to see that scene. It'll flip you out.
There are people.
It made me sick to my stomach. I felt like I was on top of that building. I had that feeling where my stomach was coming up to my throat.
There's very little I won't do for the one thing I love, which or am good at, and that is show business. I am good at show business. I think I'm pretty good at radio. I think I'm pretty good at television, but I'm a really fine showman. Whether I'm really good on the radio or not is a different matter, but showmanship. I am good at, and I remember we were on.
That's what Randy always says. Randy Wang, he always says you're good, you're crappy at everything, but in show business you kick ass.
That's what I always say. horrible in everything, but he's so good about it. He's so enthusiastic. He's a good showman about it.
I remember, so we were doing the other half of the show we were supposed to be the answer to the
Dick
View,
Clark, right.
Except everybody lied but me. Everybody lied. Mario Lopez, who is probably one of my best friends, is the biggest whore in the world. And they'd ask questions like, well, what do you think about women that have sex with you on the first date? And he'd say, well, you see, I have sisters, and I like women to be treated like I would like my sisters to be treated. So blah, 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 blah. And he goes on, and then Dick says something, and the other guy says something. They're all lying. They're just lying. And they get to me, and I go, I like the woman who has sex with me on the first date twice as much as I like the woman who made me wait for the second date. I like her three times as much as the woman who made me work for the third date, and I don't know the girl that made me work for the fourth date because I'm not there anymore. I was the only guy that would tell the truth on that show. That's why I think we got canceled.
I like that show. I like that Dick Clark.
Yeah, me too.
All right, the perfect high. This audience has adjusted their buzz, and they now know the perfect high, and it's a little different for everybody. David in Hollywood, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Yeah, what's up, Timmy?
Hey, boo.
What's up, Bonaducci?
Let's go, man.
Yo, hey, I just want to start off to apologize to you, Danny. I said I thought you sucked when you first came on the radio, man. I totally have a different opinion about you. I think you're great.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. I take that because I got a lot of hate mail when I first joined the Corolla Show.
This is a tough station to join.
Well, when you join the Corolla Show, and not to be offensive to the guy in any way, but the ratings were not stellar. And when you're down far enough, you no longer have fans, you have fanatics. And the people that were listening loved this guy, loved Adam with every fiber of their being. And for me to, you know, they called me on constantly interrupting him. Well, the art of conversation has eluded Adam. Okay, that's where you stop talking every now and again, and someone else starts. So everything I would say was interrupting Adam. Otherwise,
put a sock in it for 1 second.
You wouldn't speak. So I got all these hate mail. You're ruining the show. You're hating the show. You suck. People said, I hope you die.
Is that right?
And then, I started within about 2 or 3 months getting a call like this every now and again. And just so you don't think this is wasted, that's a very important compliment to me. And thank you very much.
All right.
Interesting insights, Bonaducci.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Look at that, Adam. But you can understand, though, like, you know, for people who go to see George Carlin's concert, right?
Right.
And maybe they're fans of, let's say, Bill Maher, okay,
right.
And you wouldn't be comfortable seeing both of those guys on stage at the same time.
Well, that was an interesting compliment I got from Adam, and if there's an explanation to what I'm doing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to go with this one because I heard this from Adam's lips, and I could have not been more flattered. I happened to be walking by Jack Silver's office when he said. And I thought I was about to get totally slammed by Corolla. And there's very few people better with words than Corolla. He's, you know, when he makes a point, he makes a very good point. But it was such a compliment, I couldn't believe it. He said, you know, working with Bonaducci, and I froze. I went, here it comes. And he said, it's like having two Eddie Van Halens in the same band and forcing one of them to play rhythm. It's a waste. There's too much talent in the room.
I also heard.
I couldn't believe it. I thought that guy just called me Eddie Van Halen on guitar.
I also heard somebody at the station describe you this way. It's really tough to ignore Danny Bonaducci. It's like having a wild African parrot flying around the room.
Huh. I haven't heard that one.
It's real tough to ignore that.
That is hard to ignore.
But this is what Danny Corolla had to say about you and Whitman.
Brian Whitman is a very talented sidekick. Brian Whitman is a better sidekick than Danny is, but I don't think for a hot second that Brian Whitman would be a better host than Danny Bonaducci.
There you go.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to quit.
All right. Brian, please. All right.
Well, that was very sweet of him.
Come back and take some more of your phone calls. The perfect high, man. And a lot of people here in this audience, you like to get high, and I can't blame you because reality really stinks a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's nice to lose reality when you get home.
I'm going through an expensive divorce. Some guy named Fairplay is suing me for something. You know, it's just the end of the day is never the end of the day. Somebody's right. Always calling me. The last words I heard before I came here, like the program director said, hey, can you go down to the radio station? I said, sure, another chance to work, to be a workhorse. That's what I do well.
Right.
The last words I actually heard before I left the house were, hey, the deposition went really well. I'll call you back.
All right. The man's life is a mess, and you can hear how messy it is 2 to 3 o'clock every single weekday on this station, 2 to 3 p.m. It's the Conway and Whitman Show. In for Whitman is Danny Bonaducci. We are live on 97.1 Free FM.
Remember when Tim Conway had a partner?
God damn, am I getting tired of this?
No, no, not Doug Steckler. The next one. The guy who doesn't show up.
Shut up!
Yeah, him! He's not here. It's Tim Conway, and Brian Whitman's not here. On 97.1 SoCal's FM talk station.
Get your freaking act together here!
All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Danny Bonaducci in for Brian Whitman. You can hear him tomorrow between 2 and 3 p.m. right after Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
I'll tell you the stories I was telling off the air before we disintegrated and degenerated right back into drugs.
Yeah, it's...
That happens when I'm around.
Yeah, the story's off the air. The language is a little more colorful than on the air.
But the life is colorful.
All right.
It's a fun little game.
Exactly. Your favorite high. You've mastered losing reality, losing the edge. What is it? John in Huntington Beach. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hi. Favorite high is to tune into my favorite show and not hear some liberal woman and hear Dan instead. I love it. Keep it going.
I'm not exactly sure what it all meant, but it was a compliment to me, and I'll take it. Thanks, man.
I don't know what that means. All right, let's talk to Gary. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, what's up, Tim and Danny? How you guys doing?
How you doing, right, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, Brian called in sick again. Either he's getting hit by the stick or he's hitting the stick himself.
Oh, please.
Hey, listen, man. Yeah, man. I met Danny many years ago when he used to work at the other station.
Yeah.
And you might remember this. We were talking about that 100-disc CD player.
Yeah.
That I won, remember, and I showed you that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. You're a really nice guy.
Thank you.
You know what? The only thing I do is I really drink beers, man, because I really love my job. I don't want to get fired, and, you know, I think it's pretty safe.
See, that's cool. That would be such a wonderful thing to be. You know, my...
What, to be that dull?
No. Think about the joy of this guy. This guy's calling up about his perfect high, where you think in your mind you've got to be semi-incapacitated and just at that right moment. Yet this guy's just drinking enough beer to do his job, be a good dad, be a good citizen, be a good taxpayer, yet he's had his perfect high. I would kill for three beers to be my perfect high. Unfortunately, three beers followed by three Vicodin followed by anything else I can put up my nose or shove up any orifice I might have. Because, by the way, one of my first days at rehab, I met this really hot blonde chick. And she said, you want to see something cool? And I said, yeah. And she pulled on the bottom of her nose and put a big pen through her septum.
Oh, Jesus. Because
cocaine had eaten the middle of her nose out.
Holy Christ.
She walked out with a pen through her nose all day.
Have you done, you Danny Bonaducci, have you done drugs in every orifice of your body?
Yes.
You have?
No, not my ears.
Your eyes?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
What would you do in your eyes?
LSD.
You put LSD in your eyes?
Eye drops, yeah.
Holy Christ. How was
my brother and I? I shouldn't have said my brother.
Was that like
a friend of mine and I went to his wife's funeral? She died of cancer, and at the end of her life, she couldn't keep anything down, so she had morphine suppositories, and we attended her funeral
just for
with
that
morphine in our keisters.
Wow!
So I got to go with yeah. By the way, interesting buzz. If anybody out there is thinking about it,
I've never been to a funeral high. On ass morphine.
Well, it was, you know, it was kind of cool because it was like a parting gift on her part. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what people do. When somebody dies of cancer, a lot of the relatives raid the medicine cabinet.
Absolutely.
For the lollipops and the suppositories and all kinds of crap.
Oh, I don't even wait for him to die.
So you're on a suppository with LSD.
No, two different times.
Two different times. Is that a quick high?
The morphine was, if I remember correctly, because you got to remember, it's been a very long and playful life. I mean, I've lived a day just today with no drugs or alcohol in it. That would be hard to keep up with.
Is fast food a buzzkill when you're on a morphine suppository?
I think almost all food is kind of a buzzkill.
I mean, but I don't know how I can say this on the air and make it clean, but can you deposit the morphine suppository because you got to take a number two? All of a sudden you're high, and all of a sudden... And then all of a sudden, a big fart and Z comes out and so
on. You should make sure that they find a way to absorb drugs. They'll do it in the hospital for you. That's pretty standard.
All right. Let's talk to, look at this.
They also make morphine lollipops.
Yeah, I know. I've seen those before. Yeah, those I'd like to get. So one of the reasons why you got to get cancer, get some of those lollipops.
Yeah, get on a good ship lollipop.
Sam on the 15 freeway, or 55, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Hi.
All right. What's your favorite high, baby?
Well, during the week, I'm a secretary at a really boring company, business suits and hair up and everything. But about twice a month, I go to the local strip club, and I work all weekend, and I get $500 or $600 a night, and I feel like the most beautiful person in the world.
Wow.
That is the best high.
See, that's why I'm so glad you called, because that's why I was saying when you get to that area where the girl's not going to say, no, not yet, I don't know you that well. That's my favorite moment where I realize sex is actually going to happen. This girl works in an uptight place, but during the weekend, she takes her clothes off and people throw money at her, and she's the queen of the world. That's a great high. I think that's a fabulous high.
Hey, it does not get better than that. It really doesn't.
Sam, how old are you?
I'm 19.
19, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be 20 this year.
Can we tell everybody where you work?
No. I don't really want a bunch of crazies coming in.
Does it turn you on to do this?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love giving dances. I love flirting. I love being on stage naked. It is so much fun.
Have you ever gone home with a guy?
No, I've never gone home with the guy. I kind of draw the line there, but I love feeling like the sexiest person in the room.
You know, I think that's a smart idea, because what happens is you'll go from the lights and the glitter on the stage, and I know this from being a celebrity from when I was a little kid, you'll go from being the center of attention in a room full of glitter and men throwing money at you to a woman in a pair of jeans in your kitchen. And it will take that shine away. You should never, as long as you want that feeling, never take a client home. It's also probably not safe.
Yeah, you should also, Sam, you are 19. You should live your life exactly the way you want right now because, and I've said this on the air before a million times, and maybe Danny, you haven't heard me talk about this, eventually this girl, Sam, the 19-year-old who strips on weekends, she's going to look in a mirror one day and she's going to go, is that a picture or is that real or is that me? And she's going to be staring at Joy Behar.
Yeah, I'm afraid that'll happen.
It's going to happen to all of them.
No, look at me.
Yes.
That's exactly what I look in the mirror right now. I see Joey Behar. It's horrifying. It's not as bad as actually
using her as the foil for that.
Then but. Looking in the mirror and seeing Joey Behar would be rolling over in the morning and seeing Joey Behar. Then I just have to kill myself.
Right, especially after Big Salt Fest on Saturday.
I did that show. Those chicks were bitches like you and Boney.
Is that right?
Oh, my God.
Weren't very cool to you?
They came out. It was during Breaking Bonanici. A producer came out and they said, we just want you to know in advance that everyone on the show is terribly offended by your television show. And we really had to fight to get you on because Barbara Walters does not want to speak to you. And I said, well, tell the old lady not to talk to me. I'll talk to Star Jones. She goes, she doesn't want to talk to you either. I said,
really?
Star Jones doesn't want to talk to me?
Wait, they laid all this on you before you walked out
there? Before I went on here.
Oh,
so I turned to my wife, who was petrified, and I said, dude, we can't lose this fight. She goes, what do you mean? I said, because this is The View, and I'll turn it into Jerry Springer in 2 seconds, and they can't let that happen. They raise the fight level to a 3. I'll go to a 7. They'll go to commercial, and they'll come back calling me mister.
There you go. All right, man. You fought through a lot of crap in your life, dude, and he keeps fighting.
And enjoyed every swing. Enjoyed every... I have no regrets. The transvestite, a little embarrassing, but I'll get over it.
All right. Danny Bonaducci in for Brian Whitman. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Uh-uh. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. John and Jeff join us from the John and Jeff Show. Nice to see you, fellas.
Hey, guys.
What's up, boys?
What's happening on the big show?
You know, I got this crazy psychiatrist that says that if you help the woman around the house with the housework, you get more sex. So, Danny, you've been married.
Yeah.
No help.
No help, dude.
No help at
no
all.
Help. No. But I will tell, I can beat your psychiatrist easily. You ready? If you help yourself to a good-paying job and have cash, you can have 2-3 women a day.
There you go.
Tim, that's what about you?
I brought a vacuum to work with me. That's, you know, I'm trying to do as much housework at home and here as possible. No, I think that might be true because, you know, she doesn't burn out on working all day. But I don't know. I think Danny's onto something. You just tell, you know, if there's one paycheck in the family, you tell her what to do.
Yeah. No, if it's a one-income family and if your income happens to exceed a certain amount, I make pretty good dough. We all make pretty good dough on the radio. If we're a one-income family and you have all your needs met and they're all met by my effort, I'm king and my word is law. Luckily, I rule with a velvet glove and not an iron hand, but my word is law.
Well, this guy says that if you help out a little bit, she'll appreciate it, and then maybe she'll give it up later that night.
They have the ultimate power, though. They can say yes or no. You know, it's amazing, and we'll do anything sometimes for it.
There you go.
Like, oh, yeah. I'm with you 100% there.
All right, King. It is John and Jeff coming up immediately. Stay tuned tomorrow at 2 o'clock, 2 to 3 o'clock for Danny Bonaducci on this station. And then Whitman will be back, and we'll be on right after Lycus. A big schedule here.
Yeah.
Danny, thanks for coming in, buddy.
Thank you for having
Always
me.
Nice
I
to
appreciate
see
that you thought of me. Thanks.
It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
One. I was dating this veterinarian one time, and I had her dart me with a tranquilizer gun.
Jesus Christ.
For a dog that weighed 40 pounds less than I. So I figured I'd feel the pain, go, wow, that's what I'd get the experience of what it would be like to be darted. Plus, as wasted as you would get, because they want that dog down. That dog is going to bite them. They need to do something to get that dog down. I figure the dog's 40 pounds less than me. I'm just going to be really wasted.
Right.
And I'll be damned if that isn't exactly what happened. It was like perfect planning. Stay tuned for the abortion of comedy.